Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on SEN.
But Ishmael's gone hard with Kimboy, starting to wind it up. Redmond. Lewis has run quite relaxed. Oh, Redmond's pulled a muscle. He's out of it. Shocking luck. What shocking luck for Redmond in the back straight.
And what followed one of the most iconic scenes in sport, I think, and it's with great pleasure this morning that we welcome the man himself, Derek Redmond, live from London. Welcome, Derek.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing very well. We've got lots to talk to you about. You've had a celebrated athletic career. I mean, you're a British record holder. You've won a world champs in the relays. But when you hear that, I think everyone's mind goes straight to that moment. How does that make you feel when you hear that replay?
Now, 28 years later, I'm kind of used to it. I guess the only thing I really have is a bit of frustration, really, now. Excuse me. It's been something that I've talked about pretty much for 28 years. So I'm pretty used to talking about it. But it's still frustrating because I was in shape to, you know, to win a medal, at least a silver, possibly the gold. So, you know, I went to those Olympic Games with everything going for me, and you know, and the chance of coming back with a medal, well, a couple of medals if you include the relay, British record, a personal best, and I came away with absolutely nothing, no medal, no British record, no personal best. So yeah, I feel a little bit shortchanged, if I'm honest with you.
Derek, your dad raced onto the track on the home straight. He put his arm around you, helped you complete the race. Whose idea was it to complete the race at that time? Was that something that you felt that you needed to do, or did your dad encourage you to finish the race?
No, it was me, totally me, because I started to finish the race 150 metres before my dad even, you know, got onto the track. You know, for me, it started after I pulled my hamstring, 150 metres, a couple of minutes after pulling my, well, seconds after pulling my, you know, I made the decision that I wanted to finish the race. And my dad originally came on to stop me. And when I said I wanted to finish the race, he said, OK, I'll help you. So it was totally, he was sort of, well, his words were, he thought I should stop. This wasn't on the track, but when he talks about it after, he kind of says that, you know, I wanted to stop Derek further injuring himself. He was adamant that he wanted to finish the race, and it wasn't the place to have a family argument, so I complied with his wishes. That's his words.
It's 28 years ago now, but how long did it take you to get over the disappointment of that?
It took me 2 years to be able to pretty much talk about it and deal with it. If I'm honest with you, it's not something you get over, you just learn to live with. I couldn't have had this conversation with you guys in the first 2 years of it happening, let's put it that way.
And, Derek, how did your dad get onto the track? In this day and age, like in the security nowadays, it would have been almost impossible to happen. But talk us through the logistics of your old man actually getting to you on the track.
Do you know something? Haven't got a clue. I mean, obviously, I was on the track doing my own thing. I have no idea how he got onto the track. We have been back to Barcelona since. We did an interview for Spanish TV. And even my dad says, I can remember being sat next to my coach. I can remember saying, hold on to my camera. And I can remember walking down the stairs, because they were sitting quite high up at the 200-meter mark. And he says, I don't really remember how it all happened, who I spoke to, who I pushed out the way, or how I fought my way through to it. It's a bit of a blur. I mean, obviously, I was somewhat preoccupied. And the only time I knew he was on the track is when he shouted out my name, Derek, you don't need to do this, pretty much at the 100-meter mark. And I just turned around and said, I do. Just get me back into lane. A few expletive words came out, five. And he said, all right, I'll get you back into there. And I don't make a habit of shouting or swearing at my dad. In fact, that was the first and last time. And I'm surprised I didn't get a sort of a clip around the ear for doing that, even if it was in front of 65,000 people.
I don't want to pry too deeply, Derek. Did your relationship with your dad, I mean, was it always, had it always been good and solid and close?
Oh, God, yeah. Me and my dad had and still have a brilliant relationship.
Great.
So, you know, he was always there at my side from when I started running at the age of seven until my last international race, which was that particular race. And we're still very close. We still talk. In fact, I should have called him today, and I didn't. So no doubt I'll get an ear bashing from him tomorrow. But no, we are very close. Literally, from a relationship point of view, but also from how far we live from each other. We're only 5 minutes from each other as well. So, we get on very well.
And Derek, is it true your pregnant sister went into labour during the race?
Yes, with her first, Karina. Yeah, she did. She pretty much went into labour. She was back here in the UK with my mum, and it was only me and my dad that was over in Barcelona. But yes, it kind of sent her into early stages of labour.
Now, a doctor said that was the end of your athletic career, but you proved him wrong. Just tell us what you went on to do post your athletic career.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, what pretty much happened was, and to cut a very long story short, in the 18 months that preceded that race, I obviously was trying to make a comeback, and in that 18 months, I had 7 operations on the hamstring. It was a bit like Groundhog Day, where I, get injured, go into hospital, have the operation, come out, do all the rehab, get back into training, pull a hamstring, go back into hospital, have the operation. And this continued, as I say, for about 18 months. And after the 7th operation, the surgeon called me in to see him and basically said to me, look, your career's over, your hamstring's had it, you're never going to compete for your country again, so stop putting yourself through this and basically go and get yourself a real job, which I didn't particularly like the sound of. I kind of agreed that my hamstring was, pretty much had it. I agreed that had some kind of effect on my athletics career, but I couldn't let him, I couldn't believe and let it sink in that I would never compete for my country again. So about 3 years later, I sent in a photograph of me playing basketball for England, and I signed it and wrote on it, thanks for your confidence.
Not only basketball, you played some rugby as well, didn't you?
Yeah, well, after the international at basketball, at that point, there had been a number of people that had competed for their country twice in different sports, but nobody had done it in 3 sports. So I wanted to be the first person to do it in 3 sports. And my other love outside athletics and basketball at the time was rugby. So I joined a local club. I followed the same route what I did with basketball, joined a local club, then got picked to play professionally. And then I tried out for a couple of England Rugby Sevens teams, but unfortunately didn't quite make it. But I guess it's still not too bad. I've been professional in 3 sports and competed for my country in 2.
Unbelievable. And now you, you do a lot of different stuff, but you talk from a motivational point of view. Does this moment that we're talking about, where you're back in 92, I know it doesn't define you, but is that the thing that sort of dominates now when you're out and about and you're doing your talking? Is that the thing that you sort of base your motivation around?
I mean, you're right, it doesn't define me, but it's the one thing I'm known for. I mean, the fact that I've been, a British champion, a Commonwealth champion, a European champion, a world champion, most people don't know Derek Redmond as those things. They know me as the bloke that pulled his hamstring and was helped over the line by his dad. That plays a huge part in what I do now. I mean, I've been speaking for 23 years, I think it is now. I'm also a business performance coach and a personal one-to-one coach mentor. So, and a lot of, everything I do is based around my sporting career, not just that particular moment. However, that particular moment does, demands quite a lot of attention, and people want to hear about it and what I learned from it and so on and so forth. So yes, it does play a big part in what I'm doing now, but it certainly wasn't the plan back in 1992.
Derek, Australia is a huge sporting nation, and we get behind our athletes at the Commonwealth Games and the Olympic Games, and I just wonder about the state and the health and the future of athletics around the world. Obviously, the Olympic Games has been a massive disappointment for everybody. The COVID-19 has been, because of COVID-19, Tokyo Olympics postponed. What do you think is the future of athletics around the world?
When you look at COVID, I think we're talking about the future of sport. And, we may be viewing sport in a different way. I mean, a lot of sports have sort of come back. MotoGP, some soccer over here. I'm not quite sure if you guys at the AFL are back in any way, shape or form, or if it's out of season. Forgive me for not knowing. You know, we've had some athletic demonstration type sports, but you know, sport has changed in a huge way. Cricket's another one, and at the moment they're all being played with no crowds, you know, no spectators, which is a weird and eerie thing to be able to do. I don't know how long that's going to continue for, when they'll start bringing spectators back into the sport. So that's, I think, you know, something that's going to possibly change the way of sports generally. And well, whether we're going to be, you know, cramming stadiums with 60, 70, 80,000, you know, people in a stadium for any event remains to be seen. From a track and field point of view, I mean, you know, one of the biggest losses obviously was Usain Bolt, you know, a couple of seasons ago retiring. That has taken away a huge, huge character from the sport. And the sport could do with another character like that. It's had a few dark moments with, obviously, with doping scandal, drug scandals, and hopefully those things have kind of been washed over, and you know, enough water has passed under the bridge to leave those things alone. But it's difficult to say in these times. You know, as I say, sport in general, has really had a massive change, and well, the world has, hasn't it? We've all, you know, it's all changed in the way that we are having to perform and operate, and sport is no different. And it'd be interesting to see what the new normal is going to be, because it certainly, I don't feel, is going to go back to how it was before. And even if we do fill stadiums in that way, getting into stadiums, I think there'll be, you know, a lot more rigorous checks, not just from a security point of view, but from a health point of view as well.
And Derek, just one final one from me. You talked about team sport. You talked about playing basketball and rugby. Athletics is very much an individual sport. Which did you enjoy? Which experience did you enjoy the most? The pursuit of personal excellence or the pursuit of team excellence?
Do you know something? Oh, God, it's a tough question. I mean, first of all, you'll be surprised that you may perform in an individual race on your own, but track and field is not an individual sport. I mean, when I was training and preparing, you know, I had, including myself, 12 people in my team. So it was very much a team sport when you start looking at all the different coaches and advisors and dietitians and, you know, specialists that you have as part of your team. I had a 12 strong or 11 strong team plus me. So it never, ever felt like an individual sport. The only time you performed on your own was when you walked out onto the track in lane, whatever you're in, and you go and race. I would suggest my favourite and the sport that I would obviously turn back to all the time would be, you know, athletics, because it was my main sport. It was my number one sport. I can't turn back the clock, unfortunately, but I do have some unfinished business in that sport. It will never get finished, not at my age, weight and shape now, so there's no hints of me making a comeback. But that would be the one sport that, you know, I would love to have finished properly, because, you know, I never ran as quick as I could. I didn't win all the medals that I believe that I could have done. I didn't compete in all of the championships that I couldn't done because of the injury. So, yeah, a little bit of unfinished business there that unfortunately will never get finished. So that would be, you know, the one sport that I would say, even with all the problems, would be, you know, my favourite.
Well, Derek, we get real-time feedback as we go during our program, and what you did was more than a gold medal, is one of the messages we've got. And then an amazing to hear Derek speak. I use his Barcelona experience to introduce the concept of resilience to my students. They're always captivated and moved. Thank you for interviewing him. And we've got to keep moving along, but we do appreciate you jumping on. Good luck in whatever the endeavours are, and stay safe over there in London. We appreciate you jumping on this morning.
Yeah, no problems, guys. And you stay safe out there as well. I know you've got your own issues out there. So, yeah, good luck to everybody and all your listeners.
So, thank you very much, Derek Redmond. Great to talk to him. He was with us for Imar Insurance, the tradies, mate. We can call 13IMAR, visit imar.com.au. What a well-spoken fella. Great interview. Good stuff, Gaz and Wes. That's from Billy. Very much appreciated. It's been great to talk to all these different international athletes over the journey, Wispy. And that is a story. If you haven't seen it, get online. Mm. Derek Redmond. Just Google him, and I'm sure the first thing that will pop up will be that race. Let's take a break and be back after this.